there is a tendency to avoid applying the word to our own states. The proprium works tirelessly to ensure that we don't apply this stuff to our life, because its life then comes under threat. So all the spiritual associations that are tied to that level work to maintain their own presence with us, because that is what they feed on, that's where they get their life. And what the word does is opens up and shows us what is present, what these spiritual communities are, and how they operate. So one of the key aspects of the proprium is to project what we're reading onto others outside of ourselves. And this brings about an avoidance of having to bring what we're reading into ourselves. And that's difficult to do. We have to make a conscious effort in spiritual things if that's to happen. So to be engaged in the word, to be building what's needed in the memory, so that influx from the Lord through his angels has something within that it can actually take hold of or enter into, whereby we can be more aware of what is higher. I mean, that's really what the whole ordering of the natural is about. It's about creating or having created in us a vessel from the word that can bring us into an awareness of the presence of the Lord with us. In order for that to happen, we have to set priorities. We have to make an effort as of self to place what we see as linked to spiritual exercises and practice to the fore. Does that mean that we're going to get a mind-blowing revelation of anything? No, but it is preparation, and without preparation, nothing can happen. So in logopraxis, we have the saying that your effort achieves nothing, but without effort, nothing is achieved. So this is the principle that we work from. That list that we have in 6310 gives us a list of what the proprium is. So it's not a question of, are these things found within the structures of our mind? It's a given. That's what the word is laying out. It's laying out what the proprium is, and here it is. And are you capable of seeing this in yourself? That's the question. And then it gives us the truths that this is not you. So while these things may be present within your mental sphere, they are not you, and they don't become anything to do with you unless you take them into the will. And so thoughts arise, states of idleness, delight in just mere pleasures, adulteries, scandalous things, they're all fully present in hell, and the proprium, the infernal proprium, is hell in us. So it's not a question of whether they are present or not. They are present. That's the starting base. And then something can be done. It becomes possible to become free of them, because we can be sure that many of the affections that drive those things we're identified with as ourselves. We claim it as our own, and so we are responsible for it. And what the word provides is the means of getting separation and distance from these things, so that they no longer are our own, but they are seen to be what is of the hells. And when they're seen to be what is of hell, they're cast back into hell. That's what casting them into hell means. It's when they're seen for what they are, that's when things are ordered, because then we won't have a bar of them, right? And so the interesting thing that comes out time and time again through this reading is Swedenborg's describing his own experience. That's what he's describing. He's describing his own hells. He's describing when he was caught, when he was down in the sensual and the corporeal, and what that all meant, and how the word elevated him out of it. So, you know, his hell is as dark and as deep as our hells. There's no difference. And these spirits that he was able to get a sense of in terms of where they came from, what their quality was, well, if we do what's asked of us in logopraxis, we too get a sense of what that's about, because we get to see the quality of the spirits that are present with us, And as we see their quality, we either welcome them as something from the Lord or we reject them as something from the hells. And that's how we get set free. And so the good of faith is what has been practiced and worked into our life. That's what that term means. So that's the only thing that can give us light and insight into the quality of what's arising. If we are not in the practice of these things, then there is no light, because the light is from what is good. And in a logopraxis context, what is good has to do with self-examination and repentance and a willingness to shun sins as evils against the Lord. All of that is spiritual practice 101. And that's what brings elevation of the mind. So we have to bring a conscious focus. If our inner world, our mental world at the level of the natural, is going to be brought into order, without a conscious focus, nothing can be done. The Lord can do maintenance stuff, but in terms of elevating us in terms of our own awareness of things, that's only possible through practice. So to have our thoughts elevated into a higher light, we need to use the truths provided for the purpose for which they're given. That's the Lord's order. That's how he has designated things from a providential perspective, that if we don't freely engage, then he's not going to force us into what we don't want.